We will be reading in Daniel chapter 9, but we're going to read verses 20 to 27. In our studies in the book of Revelation, we have now come to the 70th week of Daniel. We have seen John's meditations of Christ in the first chapter of Revelation, and also in the first chapter of Revelation, John had a vision of Christ. Then in Revelations chapter 2 and 3, we saw the Lord Jesus and the church. And the focus of the church's vision and mission is to be Christ. And the churches were to be lift up their eyes to Christ, and if they could grasp how Christ was being presented, it would enable them to overcome the difficulties that they were facing. Then we were lifted up to a vision of glory, where we saw the God of glory and the Lamb being worshipped. But then next, after chapter 5, is chapter 6 of Revelation. And chapter 6 of Revelation begins the 70th week of Daniel. And much of the 70th week is a mystery to you and I, because God's word does not fill it all in. And it's remarkable that in the book of Job, which was possibly the first book of scripture ever written, has these words: "Why dost thou strive with him?" In other words, why are you still seeking after God? "For he giveth not account of all his doings." God isn't going to tell us everything. Now, as we look at Revelation 6 to chapter 6 to 19, we must keep reminding ourselves that the Lord Jesus is in control. He is the one who opens the seal. And the angels that sound the trumpets do so at his command. And the angels that pour out the vials do so at his command. And it's remarkable, I find it remarkable, that the Apostle Peter in his first epistle writes these words: "The Lord Jesus is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him." And if we kept that verse in mind all through those chapters, from chapter 6 on through to the end of Revelation, that he is in control, that it would help alleviate the fear that might be in us. So, let's read in Daniel chapter 9, reading from verse 20. Now, Daniel, in the early part of the chapter, Daniel has been appealing to the Lord God for a restoration of Israel. He has presented reasons why God should restore his people again. The first reason was it's because of God's righteousness. God is a God of righteousness, so he should do that. It is because it would be within God's character to restore Israel. And it is because God is a God of mercy and compassion. And for the last one, and for the sake, and for God, upholding God's reputation. And so we read these words, reading from verse 20. "And while I," that's Daniel, "was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God," that would be Mount Zion and the Temple Mount, Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man or the angel Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. That was the time of the evening sacrifice. The children of Israel were to offer a morning sacrifice and an evening sacrifice every day. Daniel obviously was not able to participate because he was in the palace, but it did not stop him from pausing and to remember God's provision. And verse 22, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. And really, he's fulfilling the words of James chapter 1, verse 5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. At the beginning of my supplication, thy supplication, the command came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Verse 24, 70 weeks, that's 490 years, are determined upon your people, that's the Jews, and upon the holy city, that's Jerusalem, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem, and that's fulfilled in Nehemiah chapter 2. Unto the Messiah, the Prince, that's his appearance, which is recorded for us in Matthew chapter 21, there shall be 7 weeks, or 49 years, and weeks, 434 years. The street shall be built again, the wall, even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people, that's the Romans, of the prince who is to come, that's a little horn of Daniel 7, shall destroy the city, that's Jerusalem in 70 AD, and the sanctuary, that's the temple, they destroyed it completely. And the end thereof shall be a flood, or a flood, really it's engulfing and immersing Israel in waters of affliction. The Lord Jesus summed up all the days of grace with it, for Israel, with this, that's the beginning of sorrows. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he, that's the man of the sin with the false prophet, shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week or 7 years. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring in an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations, that's the abomination of desolation, which the Lord Jesus mentioned in Matthew 24, shall be one who makes desolate. He's a desolator or destroyer, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. Now, the Lord Jesus himself in Matthew, and it's recorded as well in Mark, that clearly tells us that Daniel was a prophet and his prophecy was yet future. Now, when we look at the book of Daniel, we understand that there were four visions, and each of these visions are tied together. The vision of Daniel 2 shows the course of the world's affairs from the Gentile view, perspective. And it's an attempt to glorify man, but it's a fading glory. It goes from gold to silver to bronze to reinforced concrete, a fading glory. The visions of Daniel 7 and Daniel 8 view the same period from the heavenly perspective. And you will see that all these nations are beasts, wild beasts. And it's a spiritual conflict. It's a conflict between God and the devil. And then the timeline from Daniel 9 views the period of time from the Jewish perspective. And really, it's a time of desolation and heartache for the Jewish people. The nations will rejoice, but God's people will be in desolation. It's important to understand that the focus of this prophecy is Israel and the land of promise. The rest of the world will only be affected when they are in relationship with Israel. And so there is no prophecy concerning other nations. You don't find China, Japan, Korea, the Philippines, Canada, United States in the scriptures, because they don't occupy the land of promise. To Israel, all of these sorrows and troubles are because the people have forgotten God. The Lord Jesus himself said, they draw nigh unto me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But there are two verses of scripture that we should always keep in mind and never forget. The first one is in Genesis 12, and verses 1 to 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And that promise has never been canceled. It's still in effect. Them that bless thee, I will bless. And you see, and you can see of the course of the world's history that all nations that blessed Abraham's descendants were also blessed. But the other verse is one that applies to all peoples, to you and I, to Israel, and to you and I, and we should always keep this in mind. That's 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, for them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And that's a promise that God has given out to all peoples. So now let's take a look at this prophecy, the Daniel that we have read about the 70 weeks. The first thing to notice is that God sent his angel, Gabriel, to tell Daniel this. So this is a revelation to Daniel. Then we would think of this, that the prophecy concerns Jerusalem and the land of promise. And the word weeks is really the word for sevens of times. But for convenience, the translators use the word weeks. And the very beginning of this reading is that the prophecy reveals to us God's purposes in Israel's trials. God has listed six reasons why Israel is going through times of trial. The first is to bring to an end the transgression. The rejection, really, a deliberate rejection of the Word of God and of the Messiah. There was a time when the Lord Jesus, speaking to the people, to the scribes, could say that you are the scribes and the Sadducees, you are deliberately ignorant of the Word of God. And that is a solemn thought, that the Lord would say that. And that's the first reason. Then the second reason is to make an end of sins. This is the sins of the individual because of a lack of knowledge of God's word. God held them responsible to know what was in his word. The kings were to read the word of God every day. They were told to do that. We are told, we are encouraged to read God's word. And then the third reason is to make reconciliation for iniquity. That Israel should be reconciled again unto God. And you think of that verse that is there, that by the death of God's Son, we are reconciled. And you think of that. That's a tremendous thing for us to appreciate, but for the children of Israel to appreciate that they are reconciled through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus is very important. And then a fourth thing is to bring in everlasting righteousness. To make righteousness. And you think of that twice over, Jeremiah in his prophecy told of that coming day when the Lord, when the righteous branch shall come. And righteousness shall mark his reign, and righteousness shall mark all the people of that day. To bring in everlasting, to seal up the vision and prophecy. And God says, I'm going to seal it up so you will not be able to understand until the appointed time. Daniel chapter 12, Daniel is told that it's to be sealed up until the appointed time. And then the last thing is to anoint the Most Highly. High, holy, that's a Messiah and the temple yet to be built. And this would teach us, it should teach us that no trial is allowed in the life of a child of God without a purpose. God has a purpose for every trial you are going through. And I think of this, and I often think of Joseph. And Joseph is speaking to his brothers because his brothers were afraid that Joseph was going to punish them because the father had died. But Joseph said this, I am in the place where God wants me. You thought evil against me, but God turned it unto good to save much people alive. And I think of that. Joseph understood that God had a purpose in his life. Tremendous thought. Well, now, Take a look at this. Daniel breaks the 70 weeks into three sections. The first section is 7 weeks, or 49 years. The second period is a period of 62 weeks, or 434 years. And the last section is a period of 1 week, or 7 years. The first section of the prophecy, and that's referred to in Daniel in verse 25 of our reading, begins with the command to rebuild the temple and the city of Jerusalem. The rebuilding of the temple happened in the first year of Cyrus, and it's illustrated for us in Ezra chapter 1. And from the command to rebuild the temple, Jerusalem, until it was completed, was 49 years. You see, the children of Israel were happy to build their own homes, but to complete the temple, they were very reluctant. And the very troublesome times that are mentioned happened to them during the prophecies of Ezra, Haggai, Zechariah, and Nehemiah. The second section was from the completion of the building of Jerusalem until the triumphal re-entry of Christ as Messiah into Jerusalem. And that's recorded for us in Matthew chapter 21. And the crucifixion of the Messiah, or his cutting off. And it's a period of 434 years. Those 434 years and Israel's general character is described for us in the book of Malachi. And then between the 69th week, or those two periods of 49 years and 434 years, gives us 483 years, or 69 weeks. Between the close of the 69th week and the opening of the 70th week, there's a long interval of time. That interval of time is called the Day of Grace. That's the day in which we're living. It is characterized by the gospel going forth to whosoever will believe, and the desecration of the Jewish people. During this time, the Jewish people are scattered and are subject to wars and trouble. The interval of grace closes with the coming of the Lord Jesus for his own. Now, you will notice in this prophecy that there's no mention to the rapture. There's no mention of the rapture, because the rapture is the truth for the church. And this prophecy is for Israel. Between the rapture and the beginning of the tribulation, there may be a period of time when the man of sin comes to power, but we do not know, because God does not tell us. But possibly, and I've thought that possibly this period between the that period will be the events of Revelation 4 and 5. Now, the 70th week is yet future and begins with the removal of the church and the full restoration of the land to Israel. This week is divided into two equal parts. 3.5 years each. And the references are 1,260 days, and it's referred to in Daniel chapter 12, verse 11, and Revelation chapter 11, verse 3. And then it's also referred to as time, times, and half a time. And we have that in Daniel 12 and 7, and Revelation 12 and 14. The first half of the 70th week will be a time of general peace. At the beginning of the time period, the prince, which is the man of sin, will sign a treaty with those Jews in the land, guaranteeing Israel's existence. Now, if you look at events in the world today, as far as I know, there is no country in the world has ever signed a treaty guaranteeing Israel's existence, which is remarkable. So that'll be the first thing that happened. So during this first 3.5 years, the man on the white horse, that's the man of sin, Revelation 6 and 2, and the man on the black horse, that's the false prophet, Revelation 6 and 5, shall subdue many peoples through political and economic means. In the midst of the 70th week, the coming world leader may set up his throne in the temple in Jerusalem, or he may set up in the temple an image of himself. This is an abomination of desolation that is referred to in Daniel chapter 8 and Matthew 24. In doing this, he declares that he is God. And immediately following the desecration of the temple, the great tribulation begins. In Revelation 6, God has given us an overview of the tribulation period. Two men called beasts are energized by Satan. The faithful are tried and the unbelievers continue to reject God. Initially, the first beast will appear as an angel of light masquerading as Christ, an offering of false peace. But later he will dominate those who follow him. He begins a campaign of world conquest by diplomacy. And then the true character of the man of sin is revealed as he embarks upon a campaign of world domination by any means possible, resulting in the death of many, which is referred to in Revelation 6. The second beast will appear as the man with the man of sin and will cause all men to worship the first beast. Men's lives will be in jeopardy. He has the power to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Then we come during the second 3.5 years. Those two evil men will show their true character. The man on the red horse, and again, that's a man of sin in the second half of the tribute. And the man on the pale horse, that's the false prophet, shall begin a persecution of all peoples who speak of God. And that's referred to in Revelation 6, verses 4 and 8. And you think of that. If you walk down to see a street here in Winnipeg, it's quite likely that you will see somebody wearing a brace and a cross. That would cause them to be put to death during that second 3.5 years. Whether they believed in God or not, because they're wearing the cross, it would be a symbol of death. If you speak to God in prayer, if you pray to God, you'll be put to death. You remember Nebuchadnezzar? He set up that image. They were to bow to that image. And anyone who did not bow to that image was to be put to death. That's going to be revisited during that second half of the tribulation period. Do you remember that the three men who were cast into the fiery furnace because they refused to bow? That's a picture of what it's going to be like during the tribulation period, the second half. The second half of the 70th week will see the outburst of satanic blasphemy, power, and cruelty. The outburst will be aimed at Israel and all those who show kindness to the people of Israel and anyone who speaks of God. You have to remember this, that you as an individual bear the image of God. And because you bear the image of God, you are Satan's enemy, and he wishes to destroy you. And he will seek all manners and all methods to destroy humanity. The 70th week closes with the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, who to deliver Israel from destruction. And that's described for us in the book of Zechariah. And it's a marvelous portion to read. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. That's the end of the tribulation period. Zechariah 14. And thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. The city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravaged. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Ever wonder why there's such hatred of the Jews today? It's because they are God's people. And when people look at them, it tells them that they are accountable to God. They're a continual reminder that there is a God that they must give account to. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle, as he fought in all the days of battle for the children of Israel. You think of that. So many times when you read through the Kings, and you will find that the Lord sent his angel. The angel slew the enemy. And when the children of Israel were to enter into the land of promise, that God said that he would fight for them. And I find it really remarkable that he says, I will send the bees and the wasps and the hornets ahead of you, and they will fight for you. And you think of that. Sometimes you're doing a barbecue in your backyard, and you get all those wasps and the hornets, and they've come. And you think, when you see that, think of this. God sent them before the children of Israel so that the children of Israel didn't have to fight. They could move into the land. But all of this is in God's time and plan. Revelation clearly shows that God is in control of all events. And during the 7 years of Daniel's 70th week, many Israelites and Gentiles will trust in God. And I think of Peter's words concerning, which I think would describe those who trust in God in those days. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." And I think that describes those who will be redeemed during the tribulation period. They fear him and work righteousness, and they are accepted with him. And as a final note, I think of Isaiah 46, verse 9. And God is speaking, "For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." When you think of that, when you think of that 70th week, think of that. God saying, it's going to be a way, according to my will and my pleasure. And then I think of the words of the Lord Jesus to, really first to his disciples, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And you think of the Daniel's prophecy. God is in control, and God knows what's happening next. And nothing will happen without his word, without his command. Shall we pray?